dealing with what we're talking about in prayer this morning. What I want to speak of this morning from Romans chapter 12. Again, I just want to take one verse, Romans chapter 12, verse 12, and it all has to do with this idea of spiritual transformation. But this morning, what Paul does in this verse here, as we look at another one of his admonitions, and this is what it is an admonition as to towards our spiritual transformation. In the verse before us this morning, Paul is giving us encouragement for that journey. And spiritual transformation, that's what it is. It's a journey. It's a path that we have chosen. When we choose to become a Christian, as Paul says, we become new creations. We begin a new life. But it's a process. It's a journey. And that journey is going to continue until we leave this earth. Whether that's before he comes again or after he comes again. It's a lifetime process, that transformation. And today, when we look around us and the things that are happening in our world and in our society and in our country itself, my, oh my, how we do need encouragement to continue on that journey and that process. So look at what Paul says. Now, it's all in the context of the spiritual transformation. It's not Paul's not getting on a different subject as such. These admonitions have to do with the renewing and the transforming of the mind, of our disposition, of our attitude. And now in verse 12, what he says, remember last week we looked at verse 11 when Paul said, not falling behind in diligence. Be boiling over in spirit, serving him. And now he says, rejoicing in hope. He said, rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, devoted to prayer. So he gives us three things to encourage us. So let's separate these out. First, he said, rejoicing in hope. Rejoicing. We're going to sing that chorus at the end of the message. Rejoice in the Lord always. That's scriptural. That's what the Bible says. But you know, rejoicing now has become rather an archaic word, hasn't it? We don't hear that word much anymore, do we? As far as our day-to-day lives. Why, if you were to walk down the street and tell people, hey, I'm rejoicing. Are you rejoicing? I am. How about you? Are you rejoicing? Can you imagine that? You go down the street and tell people that? What would they think? What's that? Yeah, they said, what? You're rejoicing? What does that mean? Rejoicing. It's like many words that we find in the scriptures. Many people don't know what they are, what they mean today. Because they're not used much. They're not used much in our everyday speech. Just like rejoice. How many times over the last, say, few months have you heard that word, rejoice? Other than singing in a song or something. Have you heard it? Have you had anybody tell you, hey, I'm rejoicing? Are you? No. And it's like Earlene said, that you do that down the street, somebody would think, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that guy? What's wrong with that lady? Something's got to be off there, you know. But you know, if you did that going down the street, you're on the bus and or something, you know. So what does it mean to rejoice? Well, rejoicing, it's a good word. Did you know, really, rejoice means to be delighted. It means to be glad. It means you're pleased about something. What's wrong with that? Problem in our society, in our world, many people don't seem to be delighted or glad about many things, do they? But here comes Paul. Paul said, rejoicing in hope. He's saying, be delighted in hope. Be glad about it. Be pleased with hope. There's some good scriptures that go along with that. Did you know that, Pat? What's that? That's a good point, see, is what Paul said, rejoicing in hope. So many people might be delighted and glad about many things, especially if they get things, what many people want. But hope, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But there's some good scriptures that go along with rejoicing. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. Verse 12, Jesus said there, rejoice and be glad. But see, many people want to just leave it at that. But look at what Jesus says. He doesn't just say, and this is what Paul says, see, and this is what's important, what Pat was saying here. See, they don't leave just rejoicing out by itself like it doesn't mean anything. He gives a reason. And look at what Jesus does, what he said. Rejoice and be glad, and he gives a reason. For your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they wait a minute here. He says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. All right, hey, we're going to rejoice and be glad for my reward in heaven. It's great. So be delighted about that. But then Jesus says, we're going to get to this part in a minute. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And then, look at what Paul says elsewhere. Both in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. And Philippians 4, verse 4. Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. to write the same things is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. But finally, my brethren, rejoice. Be delighted in the Lord. Be glad in Him. And then the passage we all know, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. But you see, here's the thing about this and about rejoicing and hope. Many people think, when you're looking at this, about in rejoicing, that it's all outward. And you let people all know that. Well, nothing wrong with that. And often should. But rejoicing is not just, and it has to do with that, the spiritual transformation, renewing of your mind again. It's not just outward, but it's also inward. It has an outward manifestation, and it has an inward manifestation. And I dare say, if you do not have the inner manifestation of being rejoicing in hope, being delighted in the Lord, if you don't have that inner manifestation of that, how can you have the outward? You can't. You got to have the inner manifestation of that delight and rejoicing before you can have the outward. But see, when you have that inner, then the outward can bubble out. It's an inner satisfaction as well. But what is that rejoicing? How does that happen? See, again, it has to do with our disposition as well. That rejoicing arises from the circumstances of life. But that can be either, from what Jesus says here, that can be either negative or positive. And again, it has to do with our disposition. You know, it's an excellent example for us for that. It's found in Luke chapter 1. Mary is. In verses 46 through 55 of Luke chapter 1, Mary expresses herself. And notice what she says to begin, beginning with in verse 46 and then 47. And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord." Song we just sang not too long ago. My soul, she says, exalts the Lord, lifts Him up. And my spirit, see, she's talking about her inner disposition, her attitude, her mindset. She says, "And my spirit has rejoiced, delighted in God my Savior." And then she says, "Why?" And you get a sense of what rejoicing is there in looking at that. We see rejoicing again among the apostles. Can you imagine that? Think about that Paul and Silas. They're in jail. They're in the stocks, no less. Which means that they're not only, you know, mantled up, but their feet are in the stocks. They can't move. And what are they doing? It says around midnight, what they hear, they're singing. Well, what does that mean? They're rejoicing. They're delighted because they're in jail, because they're in the stocks, they can't move. Yes. Why? Because of what it means for Jesus. And they're singing, praising God, and they're singing, they're rejoicing, they're delighted that this is the circumstance that they're in. And all of a sudden, what happens at midnight? All the chains are the earthquake, and all the chains are released. God delivered them. And souls were saved as a result of that. But in their circumstances, they were rejoicing. So Paul gives us something specific here to rejoice about. That's hope. That's to be our objective. That hope. What is hope? Hope is the expectation of something. And I would say it is the confident expectation of something. But as I've said before, hope's not just a wish. It's not something that you just wish upon a star. It's not something that you just desire. Hope, rejoicing in hope. Hope has both objective and subjective dimensions. Two dimensions there. Subjectively, it relates to something that is grounded, to something that is well-grounded and reliable. And in the end result, it results in our good. Think about David. Look back at the Psalms. Psalm verse 16. Starting with verse 7. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad. And my glory, my soul, my character rejoices. Why? Because I have set the Lord continually before me. We relate that to us today and to the New Testament. Looking at 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. And we should know this one. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone, get this, and everyone who has this hope on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Get that? And everyone who has this hope, this expectation, Paul says rejoicing in hope, rejoicing in expectation, and be confident about it. That's the subjective part. But objectively, it can also be seen in the following. Way back in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, when Paul was talking about Abraham, he said, in hope against hope. In hope against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to which that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. that relates to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Not that's outside somewhere, but it's in you. It's an expectation in you. But yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Which is hand in hand with what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. Because of the hope, the expectation laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you just as in all the world also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing even in you also since the day you heard and understood the grace of God in truth. I'm talking about hope. That's what Paul is talking about. Rejoicing in that. Delighting in that. Being glad in that. Now that hope is not something necessarily something we see visibly. How do we know that? Go all the way back to Thomas. What did Thomas say to the others? Say to the other ten? Unless I see the nail prints in his hands, in his feet, and the spear wound in his side. See, Thomas knew that that happened. I will not believe that he arose. That's what Thomas was saying. I won't believe it. I'm not gonna take your word for it unless I see those things. And do you know, and what scripture tells us in John 20, immediately after Thomas said that, who was there? Jesus was, wasn't he? And what did he say? Jesus said, see my hands? Now, the nail prints, as I told you before, are not here. They put it here, and that's what he means by hands. That's the only thing that could hold you up. He said, here, see them? See my feet? Put your hand here, Thomas. And Thomas said, I believe. And what did Jesus say? Blessed are you who do believe, but blessed are those who believe but do not see. But believe. That's hope. That's what he's talking about. That's hope. That's what Paul was talking about in Romans 8, chapter 24. And verse 25. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. With patience we wait eagerly for it, he says. What Paul says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, what faith is, faith and hope go together. See there? What's he talking about, that rejoicing in hope? Just like what Brother Reese said. He's talking about the future resurrection, eternal life with God, with Christ, and the redeemed. That brings joy beyond measure. And as he says, contemplation of these hoped-for blessings will bring a joy immeasurably greater and more lasting than the joy which being conformed to the present age may endure. I like what Brother Don DeWelt said years ago. We must have, as Christians, the eagerness of a pilgrim going home. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. We are pilgrims waiting to go home. We need to have that eagerness. That's what he's talking about, that rejoicing and hope. Now, is that something or not to ponder indeed? Are we living with that kind of hope? Is that something that will take us through good and bad times? Why, all we need to think about is go back to Daniel. Daniel in the lion's den and his three friends in the fiery furnace. Do you think they had hope? Sure. Remember what the three of them said when they were in the furnace, what they told Nebuchadnezzar? Hey, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't care. Our God will deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down to your idol. We're not going to serve you as God. We have one God, Yahweh. So whether he does or not, we're not going to. That's hope. Bad circumstances, yes. And then Paul said, be patient in tribulation and persistent in prayer. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation. See, that naturally follows from the former, from what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 12. Rejoice, for your reward in heaven is great. But so they persecuted the prophets, so they're going to do you. But rejoice. See, it's our hope-inspired joy which gives us the courage, as Brother Reese said, to hold up under the afflictions of this age. And if we think that there's not afflictions this age and the afflictions coming, we have another thing coming. And the word, now the word that Paul uses here, it means patient endurance. It means to steadfast. To bear up under whatever comes along. Paul said, you rejoice in hope. Why? Because tribulation's coming. And you be patient in that. But rejoice because it does. What did Jesus say? The world hated me, so the world's going to hate you. But be patient in that. Rejoice in that, he said. This isn't just any tribulation or affliction that Paul's talking about here. What he's talking about here is the tribulation or the affliction which results from the world's hatred of Jesus. From the world's resistance to Christ and his gospel. And we have it today just as they had it in the apostles' time. We have that. But look at what Revelation chapter 7, verse 14 says. I said to him, my Lord, you know, and he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You see, tribulation and affliction, persecution, whatever it may be, that is Satan's primary tool. That's one of his primary tools that he wants to use to sever us from Christ. And that's why Paul said, you be patient in that. You endure. Because you're rejoicing in hope. You're rejoicing in that confident expectation of His coming again. So you be patient. Hold on. Jesus said there's a crown of righteousness laid up for those who what? Who endure. That's why we need to develop a patient spirit, because tribulation or affliction is liable to become a stumbling block on our path to spiritual transformation. But on the other hand, if we do this, we continue to grow in that and in our spiritual walk with the Lord. James is a great example of that. Read James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Rejoice, he says, in tribulations. And then Paul says this last thing, persist in prayer. Persist in prayer. Now that word has a lot of connotations. It again, it means to be busily engaged in. It means to be adhered to. But this is why the New American Standard is wrong in its translation. Because what it says here is devoted to prayer. Paul means, the word that he uses here, he means more than devotion. He means persistence. To, yes, devote, but also to persist. To make yourself busy about. You see, persist gets to the heart of what Paul is referring to here. What he's saying is, when we pray, is there a sense of urgency about it? Is there a sense of urgency in our words and our action for prayer? Or is prayer just us talking to, it's just talking to, you know, that we think we're talking to God and that's it. But do we really believe that we're communicating with the God of all? And Paul says to be persistent about that. To never give up in that. Why? Tribulation, affliction, the resistance of the world. Patient in tribulation. Why? Because we are seeking Almighty God's aid. That's why he wants us to communicate with him. We are seeking Yahweh's aid. And we acknowledge his power and his authority when we do so. Is that so in our lives? Can we say that we're adhering to what Paul says here? I'm going to close with 1 Peter chapter 1, or excuse me, 1 Peter 3, verses 6 through 9. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children, if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear, you husbands in the same way live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers, this is what I wanted to get at, so that your prayers will not be hindered. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for we were called, for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. What is that blessing? Why, it's what we have in Christ. See? Rejoicing in hope? You betcha. And that has to be that needs to be a continual thing throughout our lives. Every day, we should be thinking about that, rejoicing in hope. And if tribulation, affliction comes, I'm going to be patient and endure through it. And in order to overcome that, I'm going to be persistent in prayer. God wants us to communicate with Him. I've heard people say, well, God already knows what we want. God already knows what we're thinking. So we don't need to talk to Him. He wants us to. He wants us to because we show our love for Him that way. We honor Him when we do so. And we show that we have and we believe and have that hope. That confident expectation. Let's stand. We're going to sing Rejoice in the Lord Always. Let's try to encourage one another to make this part of our lives daily. We need to. We need it.